listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Biking, I'm biking, I'm biking slow-mo. Maybe the foe will excite in this mo. A cold with temperatures dip below 70s. How can I be burnt around LA coast? The diamond is plural, the Tiffany brooch. On my lapel at the table, I'm giving a toast. The first wedding I've been to in my 20s. Thinking maybe someone is not something to own. Maybe the government got nothing to do with it. Thinking maybe the feeling just comes and it goes. Thinking I want a little one that look like my clone. Me and my baby can't do on our own. I landed the trick, got my impossibles. I'm fucking with Addie, I'm watching my doughs. 24 hours like they never close. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
That's right. We biking. Mm-hmm. And we're live on a Tuesday, Tuesday night. Ready to give you guys some more podcasting, man. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. If we like them, we will read them on the air. As long as they're nice. As long as they're nice. Okay? That's a big point.
We don't give a damn if you put 5 on it if it ain't nice.
Don't forget, we're going to PodCon. It is happening December, I believe it's 9th. Let me make sure I get y'all's dates right, but it's in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets at podcon.com and come through, guys. You know,
I'm excited to meet everybody out there. There's several people. They are like, I am ready for y'all to get y'all asses out here.
Yeah, we just got our plane ticket. So
yes, we did. It's official now. We're gonna be flying.
I wonder because they paid for the plane ticket. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's a way where I could make the plane pay the difference and we could be in first class again, because I like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's possible. I don't know if it's possible. I didn't even ask. So I'm gonna see. I'm gonna find out.
Yeah, because a lot of times you can bump them up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because that was a good feeling, and we're gonna be in the air for 6 hours. You know,
come on, dog.
It paid for itself at that point.
I'm gonna be fine. Now you might be another story. Cause
the little ass seats, and then the motherfucking the knees. You don't have enough mm-hmm. room. Mm-hmm. I'm be scared. I don't want to be like that. It was hard enough going to Miami, and the flights were less than 45 minutes to an hour, mm-hmm. and my knees was hurting real bad. So yeah. I don't know, it's gonna be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. At any rate, nothing to do with you guys. It's the Blackout Tips and whatnot. We also have a sexy sponsor today. Okay, we are a sponsor. Matter of fact, I'll just go back to the song I was playing. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve is out here trying to help you spice things up in your bedroom. Extra spicy. I'm talking caliente. I'm talking about sriracha. Okay, talking about put some Cholula on yourself. And they gonna back up that promise to spice it up as it gets to these cold winter months, y'all. It's cuffing season. Y'all about to stay indoors all week, you know. Well, go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of just about any item. And the offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's a good deal for you by yourself. But they also want to offer you the Big O kit for free when you put in that code TBGWT. And who doesn't love a Big O? It comes with Climax gel, a mini vibrator, so you can, you know, get all the way off. And they give you free shipping. I mean, you don't like free? Is that what the problem is? Y'all don't like orgasms? Is that the problem? Y'all let us know. So what you gotta do is you pick any one item, and it could be lingerie. It could be a little something for yourself, something for your main person. Then on the weekend, you can have another person, and you can give them the Big O kit. I don't know. It's not my business. You are grown.
Right.
Okay?
You're grown.
It's not me to judge what you get into your proclivities.
Who is me to judge?
Who are me to judge? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, you can absolutely, get this kit by just going to adamandeve.com, pick out one item. Get it 50% off when you put TBGWT in the offer code box, and you get free shipping, and you get the free Big O kit. You're not gonna find this deal anywhere else. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Sing them side chick blues, girl. I'm the weekend.
Take Wednesday, Thursday, and just send him off.
them. Yeah, at least about four.
Sometimes you gotta have low goals, guys. Okay.
I mean, right now she's just selling for the weekend.
A little piece of a man, still a piece of a man. Okay, guys. Don't let people tell you what you gotta believe and set goals for yourself. Okay.
I mean, if that's what you want, I mean, hey.
Maybe you need a Lawrence to come through on the weekend and go back to work. I don't know. I'm not judging you. Live your Tasha life.
Come on.
All right, all kinds of news is happening. I actually feel like it was a little bit slow on the news today, but we had a lot of white news happening, but we saving that for tomorrow with the wine. Okay.
Oh yeah, we gotta get some crackers too.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we still got this whenever it wants to play, that is. Okay then, just embarrass me, you know. You was fine playing that scissor. That was okay.
Then, okay. We were fine a few seconds ago.
Right. All right. Well.
Oh well. Guess.
At any rate. Into this tragic LGBTQ news. I did not tell it to do that. It just decided to keep jamming.
It was like, you know what? We're going to party a little bit longer.
Yeah, it said, you know what, guys? This is sad, sad news. Right. Let's talk about something positive for a second. Trump nominee defends his move to void gay worker protections. Yeah. Senator Brownback, in line to be an ambassador at a large for international religious firm on Wednesday, defended his decision as a Kansas governor to scrap an order that barred discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Brown, back in 2017, rescinded the order issued in August 2007 by then Governor Kathleen Sebelius that banned discrimination against gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender individuals in hiring and employment agencies under the government's direct control. So this isn't even every company. This isn't even private company. It's basically anything the government controls, which is one of the reasons that there's a bit of a nuance we have to have when we talk about certain times when we talk about the government, because sometimes the government, when it comes to certain protections, are the most progressive of a very fucking regressive world. And even still, that's not like they're doing great by leaps and bounds. It's still discrimination, it's still resistance, there's still a bunch of shit. It's not idealistic, but you know, it's kind of like how military can be a safer job for somebody who's transgender than private industries where people refuse to hire them and shit. They don't got to, like, basically it's not mandated, so fuck it, I'm not going to. Well, he fought even went under the government, you know. He told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at his confirmation hearing that he is a Democrat, had acted unilaterally and undercut Kansas legislature. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine A former Virginia governor asked Brownback whether such an order sends a clear signal to the state agency chiefs that discrimination based on sexual orientation won't be tolerated. He says, I think that would be a rational thing. I just don't think it's right. It's a right that the executive branch should create without the legislative branch. Brownback, a favorite of Christian conservatives, what does that mean exactly, right? For his strong stances against abortion and same-sex marriage, well, there you have it. That's apparently what being Christian in this country is. It's being against abortion and same-sex marriage.
And nothing else. Okay. Like that's all it's about.
I guess that's why people call Donald Trump a good Christian, because he's willing to sell out those who
that motherfucker ain't no Christian
stances, right? Also declined to unequivocally declare that there's no situation that would allow a country to cite religious freedoms as a base for criminally persecuting LGBTQ people. So basically, like how we hear some countries where it's like, yeah, they criminally go after people just for being LGBT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I'm not gonna say we can't do that. Kane said he expected an unambiguous answer. The senator said there are still countries around the world where you can be in prison and even executed if you're LGBT. Brownback served as a U.S. Senate, in the U.S. Senate before his election as governor in 2010. 5 years ago, he made Kansas an economic laboratory for the nation by aggressively cutting taxes. But if he's confirmed by the full Senate, Brownback will leave office. With his Kansas reputation in tatters and his home state an example of trickle down economics that didn't work.
Right.
Which is gonna happen to the whole country.
Right. And that's the thing that kills me. States have done this bullshit that they be talking about. Cut shit, slash shit, lower taxes. They do that. And then a lot of times they've done studies, they say all the states that did that are fucking bankrupt now, or close to bankrupt now, or the federal government has to step in to help these areas out because they don't have any fucking funding for the people that's there, and then the people that can afford to move out of the state. So then a lot of times all you're left is with the poor and impoverished people, regardless of the race. They're left there dealing with the aftermath and the ashes of the fire that was started by somebody else that did not give a fuck.
Right. So yeah, yeah,
and it's very frustrating. Like
I don't even really have anything to add. Of course the Trump nominee would defend this and before this, and of course he's terrible with taxes and everything, that and he's gonna stay in power and
right
whatnot.
And it's one of those things where things like this just make me mad with people all across the board, but for so many people who just, they're the same, and don't, no matter what, she just was not perfect, she was not that thing, you just could not see yourself doing it. Or the people that said fuck it, like a lot of that matters, and this is the end result of that,
right? So yeah, transgender teen brutally assaulted in school is not going to let it fade away.
Good.
Callie, go ahead.
I'm no problem. Keep fighting that fight. And also shout out to the people that got happy and threw confetti in the air when we got marriage equality and didn't give a fuck about anything after that. All the other people in your group that was like, hey, we getting beat, we're being oppressed, what about us? Y'all said fuck it, we can get married now.
Well, you gotta, one, people don't consider that to be the same group in many cases.
Okay, I
you know you said, but you said before, people go out the L and the G, fuck the B and fuck the T, right? There was a trans activist that protested I guess heckled or whatnot at Obama, and you know people got mad at her, you know, because there's still more to be done. But yeah, at the same time, I'm not saying don't celebrate your victories. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a huge milestone. I'm sure people were happy.
Yes.
But there's, like most things with politics in America, that's just pinch it to lend, like put up your tools, go home, kick your feet up, and be like, mission accomplished, right?
Right. And see, my thing is that's the problem. You thought we had got to the finish line, and people were telling you we had not got to the finish line. And now this same group is going to turn back around and look at the group that they stuck their middle fingers up and say, I don't care about your problem. Be like, hey, we got to fight to get across that finish line again for you to stop.
And that's where it becomes frustrating for marginalized groups, because you only give a fuck because you feel like it's directly affecting you now. When you, if you would have pushed forward, a lot of the shit would not have been going back.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Kylie Perez, a 14-year-old in Newark, New Jersey, who was beaten by at least four fellow students at her high school last week, is not going to let the incident be forgotten. Instead, she will speak out in a series of anti-bullying assemblies to be held at the school. Perez told PLX 11 she heard a girl say, "Oh, there's the tranny," before getting punched and falling to the ground. Wow. Where the assault continued, it was captured on East Side High School's security cameras. Perez, who transitioned into sixth grade, reports having suffered anti-LGBTQ harassment for years. She and her mother, Lillian Richards, reported the incident to the school, as well as the Newark Police Department, who in turn notified the Essex County Prosecutor's Office. It's being investigated as a hate crime. The prosecutor's office said on Monday, there has so far been no decision whether anyone would be charged. How's that possible?
Right, you got it on tape.
If someone got beat up, how do you not charge anyone? I'm really at a loss here.
Man, these children must be children with influence, because a lot of times what happened is that,
are they though?
No, I don't know, but I'm assuming, I mean, all of a sudden we're not charging people.
I mean, that's a hell of an assumption to make, because I don't even think you gotta, the influence could be just that you're not trans. Yeah, just like the influence for some, you know, the kid that hung somebody, like the influence is he white and the black kid is black, you know. I don't think you even have to have some connection. I think people protect own, quote unquote, and yes, they see a trans person as other, and they see these the people that assault her as just kids, as the kids be fighting, the kids will be kids, that type of shit, when it's like, or it's a hate crime. What, why, you know, why would it not be viewed as such, you know? I haven't seen the video. I guess they had a video on here. So I don't know the race of the kids or whatever.
14-year-old Kylie Perez never saw it coming.
I heard the girl go like, "Oh, there's the tranny."
That's her walking away from the surveillance camera, blindsided with a flurry of punches and kicks from at least four fellow students, bullies.
Yeah, it looked like young black boys are hitting her. So,
two punches, like, right here. And I fell. And when I fell, it was like, I felt like everybody was coming towards me. Everybody.
You were getting jumped?
Yeah, I was getting jumped.
Kylie and her mother Lillian say bullies have made school life difficult for the last several years.
You know, they'll call me gay and shit, so that's what they usually say.
But especially since her transition from Justin to Kylie in sixth grade.
When I received the call, I just started crying. I just panicked.
Kylie and Lillian reported the attack to the school and the Newark Police Department, which has officially classified the attack as a bias incident and notified the Essex County Prosecutor's Office. But they say, as far as they know, since Tuesday's attack, Newark school officials have yet to hold any kind of anti-bullying program or intervention initiative at the East Side High School to address what happened in that hallway.
When my daughter goes to school, I expect her to be safe in school.
24 hours after those students jumped Kylie in Newark, New Jersey, another bullying incident ended in tragedy across the Hudson River in the Bronx. That's where 18-year-old high school student Abel Cedeno stabbed two students, one of them fatally, after he snapped, as he put it, the result of weeks of being bullied. Kylie Perez says she hopes schools will work harder to address intolerance in school classrooms and hallways before it's too late.
You can't really change anybody how they feel, whether they're straight, bisexual, gay, transgender, anything. That's their decision.
That's your decision.
Yeah, that's my decision. So for somebody to have the need to come into my life and tell me how I should live, I feel like that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a bunch there. First thing I would say is I thought that was that was dope to have a parent that was supportive, because so often in these situations we see parents that aren't supportive, right. They misgender their children, that are in denial, that, you know, they love their children in the way that they, I guess, think they can, but, you know, often just reject their entire gender identity and cause even more problems. So cool, glad you have a supportive home life. I hate that the burden of speaking up on this, going, like, now you've become an activist just by your nature of being. Like, I got beat up, now I gotta go, I'm gonna go speak at assemblies, and because you want to own what happened to you, but nobody should have to have this burden. Right. And as a, what, at a, what was she, seventh grader or something like that?
That's not what she signed up for.
Yeah, you're 14 and now you have to have this mantle of educating the world about yourself because somebody would do something so hateful for you. Yeah, I did notice it was black males that appeared to beat her down. Once again, this is a trans woman of color, trans girl of color, and here we go, you know. That's not lost on me looking at the footage, and I am baffled as to why no one would be charged in an incident that seems so blatant. I don't know what the surrounding circumstances could be, because when you look at the video footage, she's literally walking down the hall and then just get stolen on. Like, there's no like back and forth, there's no arguing, there's no, you know, and for the record, this is the disservice that people of privilege do to themselves as well. Like, something's wrong with those kids. Who taught them that? You know, where did they learn that that's what being a man is? Like, we have to examine our own shit too, man. It can't just be this. You know, we can't be happy and satisfied with that. So, I just thought, you know, that's the things I thought about when I saw that story. And Kylie was extremely composed for somebody that got beat up walking down the hall. But I guess, as she said, she's been dealing with this for years.
And everybody don't deal with the same. They, like I said, in this story, there was like somebody else snapped and they fucking killed somebody. That's like, I've had enough of you today. Take this knife.
Right. And then there's also the it's just messed up. And then the other kid who they've talked about, I believe that was a kid who stabbed those his bullies because they were calling him all sorts of slurs and shit.
And everybody don't handle that the same. I don't, you know, just like when, you know, when black people get attacked, people think you're just supposed to take that, and the day you snap, you're wrong.
Right. So at any rate, like I said, these stories are always so so terrible, but I also don't want to not talk about them because I feel like people like to chime in when it's the Breakfast Club talking about Janet Mock and be like, what's the big deal? Because they don't learn about stuff like this and they don't care, you know. And maybe they do and they still don't see a big deal, but I think when you look at somebody's struggle, it makes you a little more cognizant of what being flippant towards people is really about, and how you're reinforcing, you know, how society's already fucked up. Kissing women were forcibly removed from an anti-marriage rally in Australia. The fight for marriage equality rages on in the lead up to the November 7th deadline for Australians to mail in their vote on whether they are for or against marriage equality before Parliament's on the issue, and it's getting heated, as evidenced by a pair of female protesters who were dragged off stage in a lip lock at a Coalition for Marriage Vote No rally earlier this week. What does it say about society that that's a protest? You know what I'm saying? Like, that, right. y'all are literally against two people loving each other. Like, y'all had to get them off the stage. Like, no, boo, you will not.
Boo these people, boo.
Right. Keep in mind, you're supposed to keep against marriage equality, but guess what? Doesn't that kind of subtly, or not so subtly, reveal the point of people who are against marriage equality? They're against people being gay.
Right.
They always try to act like they're not, where it's like, no, I'm just saying marriage is different. Marriage between a man and a woman. Two women get on stage kissing, that's not even about marriage. Why are you flipping out? Why are you pulling people off the stage? Why are you so upset? Right? Well, I thought you were okay with that. You just didn't want, you know, marriage equality. You just didn't want to see, that's just sacred. It's a man and a woman. But two women kissing has nothing to do with that, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, apparently it does to you. The women who have not been identified rushed the stage to kiss for about 20 seconds. Yes. 20 seconds. That's such a long kiss. Before they are forcibly removed from the stage, locked in a kiss the entire time. The managing director of the Australian Christian Lobby, Lyle Shelton, the group that continues fights to keep marriage between one man and one woman, posted a video of the women who were dragged off by a man before security got involved. Shelton wrote that one of the women shouted fascist into a microphone, but they were not the only protesters to crash the event. A woman rushed the stage earlier, violently resisted security. Shelton tweeted earlier in the event, the results of the Australian mail-in vote on marriage equality are non-binding, as Parliament will ultimately decide the fate of LGBT citizens. However, the mail-in ballot has inspired anti-LGBT groups to create harmful campaigns claiming that gay people are pedophiles and that marriage equality will lead to boys wearing dresses in school.
They love to fall on that, don't they?
That's their favorite thing. As if that would be the worst thing in the world, by the way. Like, oh God, then what'll happen if we start letting people dress however they want? Oh no, society will fall apart.
And those are not the same.
Right. A transgender teen who was ousted by school and is crowned homecoming king.
Wonderful.
A 17-year-old boy who says he was kicked out of his former Christian high school for being transgender is turning the other cheek and adjusting his crown after being named homecoming king at his new school. Styles Zuschlag, I think that's how you pronounce that, Zuschlag, was bestowed the social accolade at Noble High School's homecoming game in North Berwick, Maine on Friday night, just 1 month after beginning his senior year at the public high school. This experience feels like a dream. It's something I never thought could have happened to me, told the HuffPost by email on Sunday. The Cinderella moment, the Cinderella moment followed Zuschlag making national news last week after he was told he was no longer welcome at Tri-City Christian Academy in Somersworth, New Hampshire, roughly 7 miles southwest of Noble High. It followed him transitioning from female to male in 2015. Zuschlag, who has a 3.89 GPA and aspired to be valedictorian, said he went to speak to a school administrator in August about being identified as male, but was instead given an ultimatum. He had to confess his sins, stop taking testosterone treatments, and receive Christian counseling or find a new school.
Well, goddamn.
Right. The school administrator reached by comment, by Seacoast Online, declined to speak. Of course. Feel like anytime these motherfuckers decline to speak, it's because they know they wrong. Like, sometimes I do, like, when it's celebrity shit, I feel like they don't really have time, like, where I, like, we found out juicy gossip, and we reporting it as soon as we can, and we reached out to Kanye West for comment. It's like, well, of course Kanye didn't comment in the 3 seconds it took to make this story, but
right.
Some of these things, I'm like, oh, no, that school got that phone call and went, just don't say nothing, because there's nothing they can say.
Mm-mm.
A request for comment.
And they know it.
Right, and they know they're going to sound wrong, so they just don't say it.
Right.
Though the idea of attending a new school terrified him, he enrolled at Noble High and made a number of new friends, adding that to a few he already knew. Administrators at Noble High School, reached by Portland Station WCSH6, said Zuschlag is not their first transgender student. We want all our students to feel like they belong here. Noble High School, the school's director of counseling, Nancy Simmer, told the station, that's a small thing we can do to help them feel like they're a part of the community. That welcoming feeling apparently wasn't lost on Zuschlag. Within the first few weeks of school, Zuschlag said an email began circulating seeking nominees for homecoming king and queen, and he decided to pursue it initially as a joke. I asked on Snapchat as a joke to put me in, and people actually did. I didn't really expect them to. I still can't believe they did that for me. His surprise was only magnified when he showed up to the game and won. After I won the homecoming game, I almost started crying. My friends all put me in. People I didn't even know put me in. Everyone voted for me on the final ballot, he said.
Aww.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's dope. Yeah, that's dope. You know, I sound like some good news. I hope, you know, people treat him well. I hope people, don't just do that kind of symbolic, like the owners in the NFL taking a knee and then today passing like a new rule saying you gotta stand for the allegiance. You know, like, I hope it's not that. I made myself feel better as a straight person. And then, you know, and it just be like, oh, by the way, you know, like, as a cisgender person, oh my God, I'm such a good person because I voted for you. Right. And then, you're a piece of shit, when we get back to school the next day, you know? So I hope the whole experience is good, and that's dope. Very rarely get positive news in this section.
Correct.
So let's just move on while we are ahead.
Yes, please.
I'm looking at you.
And on a high note.
Yeah, looking at these other squad. Yeah, we'll come back to these terrible.
I can't see them, but I vote no.
Speaking of terrible news, though, okay, there's still a lot of it out there, and we do have to cover it. I guess we can do some fucking with black people, okay? Let me bring this up. Where is it at? Come on, fucking with black people. Where we going? Oh, cool. They got This Is Us soundtrack on Spotify now. That's dope.
Spotify be lit, cause that Instagram soundtrack is fire.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's get into it, everybody. A Detroit firefighter has been fired for bringing watermelon to a station. But I love watermelon. What would be the problem with that? I don't understand. Why would you have to fire somebody for bringing watermelon to a station?
You bring chicken too?
I mean, that doesn't sound like it. Sounds like he just brought some delicious juicy
watermelon. A firefighter new to the job makes a major faux pas while getting to know his new colleagues.
What he says was a gesture of goodwill was not received that way at all. Fox 2's Taryn Asher here now to explain why some people were so offended. Taryn.
Well, Robert Pattinson had just completed the Firefighter Training Academy. He was set to work at Detroit's Engine 55. He says he brought a watermelon with a pink bow to introduce himself to the crew as a nice gesture. But it certainly wasn't taken that way.
Fired before he officially started. Last Monday, 41-year-old Robert Pattinson went to introduce himself to his fellow firefighters at Engine 55 at Joy and Southfield in Detroit. 2nd Battalion Chief Sean McCarty calls it a tradition for firefighters.
It's not mandatory. It's voluntary. You come in, you bring gifts. You might bring some. The usual gift is donuts. Okay. But you're allowed to bring in whatever you want to bring in.
And Pattinson, a probationary firefighter, decided to bring this watermelon with a pink ribbon on top. We're told some African-American firefighters were instantly offended, since 90% of the people who work at Engine 55 are black.
When you get your birth detail to a firehouse, you know pretty much what you're getting yourself into.
Oh,
so,
no!
I would have to say, you know, it was probably a bad call.
Is it racially insensitive to bring a watermelon into a firehouse?
To some people.
I spoke to Pattinson by phone, who claims it was not a joke and he did not mean to offend his fellow firefighters. But he clearly did. Fire Commissioner Eric Jones says the Fenton native was officially discharged. In a statement, Jones says there is zero tolerance for discriminatory behavior inside the Detroit Fire Department. On Saturday, September 30th, at Engine 55, a trial firefighter engaged in unsatisfactory work behavior, which was deemed offensive and racially insensitive to members of the Detroit Fire Department. After a thorough investigation, it was determined that the best course of action was to terminate the employment of this probationary employee. In a world where racial tensions run high, some tell me the trial firefighter should have known better. Trout doesn't know if he meant anything by it, but feels it was a bad choice.
Oh, for sure. By far none it was.
The question is, did DFD overreact?
Should he have lost his job over a watermelon?
I don't think so.
Of course. Of course you should think so.
Between what he did and losing his job, there were a few things that could have been done.
Well, Battalion Chief McCarty goes on to say, although a group inside the firehouse wanted Pattinson fired, many others wanted him to be able to stay so they could educate him about why it was offensive and really continue this discussion. Huel?
So, Taryn, how is the union responding tonight?
Well, Union President Mike Nevins says that the union feels the administration dealt with the employee in what they determined to be in the best interest of the department. So it sounds as if they supported the move.
Cause they don't want them motherfucking problems. They were like, you can't do this. It is not our job to train you.
I kind of like the idea of him not knowing and it just being a huge misunderstanding, but I feel like he clearly knew. I just can't imagine 90% of the department is black.
Which
brought the watermelon.
And they can't, but I just, they can't keep you, dog. 90-something% of people in here is niggas. They can't keep you. You had to be fired. I'm sorry.
I wish they had kept him so he could get more stories of more shit that he did that was egregious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Next week it'd have been chicken and hot sauce. Right. Eat about potato salad made with mayo or some shit. How them niggas in there mad.
They go into a fire. He come out with his face covered in soot. He be like, look, it's look like I'm one of you guys.
Yeah.
That's highly offensive. Oh, we gotta explain it to him again, guys. Sit him down. Randy, this is why he can't do this. It's kind of racist.
Right.
0 to 100.
A 75, because it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh my god.
100 for them niggas though, but I give the 75. Cause I know them niggas was mad, cause I couldn't even imagine. And then he had nerve to put a pink bow on it.
Mm-hmm. Alright, let's see what happened. Oh, I went, look on Twitter, they were saying, that woman that, it looked like they got that woman fired to ask him about the routes. So, people that found her quote unquote racist tweets, I guess they won. There you go. Congratulations, everybody. But she is a white woman, so I'm sure she'll be all right. Let's see what other stories we got for fucking with black people. A South Carolina dad takes his kids out of an expensive private school because administration opposed the Confederate flag on his truck.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Father in Midlands, South Carolina, how did I know?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Likes to fly the Confederate flag on his truck, but when $26,000 a year private school, ooh, that's a lot of money. Where he sends his children, where he sends his children, opposed his flying the flag. When dropping them off, he took his money elsewhere and then went to the media, of course. Angry white man, let me call the news.
Because he's a victim. And guess what? You don't have to be here, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, the student body is offended every time you wave this big ass flag. No, thank you.
Right. This just ain't right, Rhett Ingram told South Carolina's KMOV news station.
It ain't right for you to pay to be racist.
I felt like it was being taken. It's like, wait a minute, that flag doesn't mean I'm racist. It doesn't mean I hate people. Ingram told KMOV he started flying the flag in 2016.
was it after September the what was it? When did we vote? The second? Was it September the 3rd? I mean, November the 3rd.
Yeah, it's like November 8th, I think.
Yeah, November 8th. It was the day after we voted.
Oh, my God.
Which means your baby been going there with no problem. All of a sudden, you waved his big ass flag.
That's why your kid can't go to school no more. But Heathwood Hall, where his 14 and 11-year-olds have been gone for years, asked him to remove it. Your flag's not welcome here, the school reportedly told him. After multiple discussions with the administration, Ingram took his kids out of school. Heathwood Hall put him on a no trespass notice at the end of September. Oh, and then he went and told the news. That's how convinced he is that he got a raw deal, is that he went and told the news. Why did you start flying it in 2016?
We in Trump's America now. That's
when
why.
The motherfucking Charlottesville rally has people with how, what is earth, what is life, what is, well, dearly beloved, what, just your kids, I really say your kids won't get a great education, but it sounds like they were going to teach them not to be racist assholes, so you probably wouldn't like that anyway. All right, 0 to 100.
Oh, that get a 100.
Yeah, I get at 100. What an idiot. I'm going to take my kids to public school. You can be racist and nobody can stop you. No one's going to teach my kids right from wrong. Why does flag mean I'm racist? Just because I started, in 2016. Now, I've always had this flag on my car. I didn't know. This motherfucker literally... They took the flag down at the Dillon Roof and he put it up, guys. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus Christ. What did he think Bree Newsom was doing? He was just like, well, why is she so angry? I don't know why she climbing that pole. I mean, a Pennsylvania daycare center received a racist threat for hiring an African-American woman. Of course. Mm. An anonymous letter was sent to a daycare center in Pennsylvania that was blatantly racist. The letter was from a parent, and it's so astounding that some people think it's fake. The letter says, hello, I'm writing this as a concerned parent and friend. Most of us notice you have a black girl working for the daycare. Our problem is she's too dark. Most of the kids are scared of her. I'm only telling you this because I know it's from Pennsylvania, y'all, but this is how they talk everywhere.
If you're racist, I don't care where you is across the country, that's how you talk in my mind.
Racism got its own accent.
Yeah, it does.
I'm only telling you this because some of us are planning to pull our kid from the daycare. She's an eyesore. I see you trying to touch all the nationalities, but maybe hire a light-skinned black? She will blend more and not look like a nanny. Oh, that colorism. Beautiful. She's not the first thing a child nor the parents want to see as soon as they walk into daycare, so the choice is yours. Choose wisely. Remember, we parents pay your mortgage. I hope you, white people love telling you how much they pay of your salary. If you don't go somewhere, your 3% ain't gonna, I won't miss it. I'll drink one less latte this month.
Right.
I hope you make her aware she's not wanted. I'm sending her a copy as well. Oh, CC nigger. What? Why? So, such a courteous and thorough racist. However, if she needs a job, McDonald's always hiring her kind. Oh, the dark blacks work at McDonald's. Okay. So work your magic and make it disappear. P.S. Just trying to make your daycare great again.
You know what? I don't believe that's a parent either.
You think it's fake?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if they did just hire a dark-skinned woman, how would anyone know other than a parent? You know what I'm saying? Who knew they hired a dark-skinned woman at the daycare? It got to be somebody's parent. Something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, unless CSI racism gonna get on it and find out that it's really her ex-boyfriend trying to stalk her job or something. I don't know how we can.
You never know. And depending on what the daycare, it might be, like somebody, like surrounding the area will be like, oh, you know, they got a darkie over there at the daycare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's a joke. I think it's racism. That racism is still out there, y'all.
Oh yeah, and it'll never die, never die. And you know what? Yeah, that's why I can't run shit, because I make you mad. I have somebody on purpose even darker than she was.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it's like, babe, what is you, a mocha chaka? I'm gonna go ahead and get a little bit deeper than you.
I like how there was a passable level of brownness that was gonna be fine though. This is kind of a fucking with black people for me personally. This dude Robert Kuttner wrote a missing in action Barack Obama piece today, or 2 days ago. His country needs him again.
Leave that man alone. He's gone. This is how I feel about the Obamas. Y'all motherfuckers took them for goddamn granted when they was here. They is off the motherfucking clock. Let them be.
Yeah, he basically says the same thing that so many white people have been saying. One, you're concentrating on Obama, not Trump, in the current administration. Obama's not running anymore.
Right.
Hillary's not running anymore. But y'all got so comfortable for 8 years critiquing them, y'all don't even know how to do anything else. And y'all identify a little too closely with them Trump voting motherfuckers that say it's not really about race when it's 100% about bigotry and xenophobia and shit. So instead that you spend all your time still punching Obama. And, from my understanding, this author has made a career out of this. He criticizes Obama all the time in his pieces for the last 8 years. So this ain't nothing new.
This is your clickbait. This is your bread and butter.
It's like when we talk about brands and I say how certain people have a brand, so they can't deviate from their brand. Cause it's like, if I've made a name by just telling you Obama ain't shit, when am I supposed to pivot to something new? Everybody know Trump ain't shit.
Right.
So let me go back and put this burden on Obama while he ain't shit. The things I noticed in this article, he wrote about Obama's giving speeches to Wall Street and making too much money giving these speeches, and he shouldn't be doing that. He's too silent. He even brought up Obama's State of the Union and said, instead of telling the country, you know, what... you know, how dangerous Trump was. He took a victory lap on everything he accomplished in his 8 years. Now, only a biased ass racist stupid motherfucker would think that, because I watched that same State of the Union and I saw a man going, these are the things we've accomplished together as a country in 8 years. And he spent the whole time going, I didn't do that. Y'all did that. You did that. And basically saying, don't lose this progress because you don't like Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Like this, like the Republicans are going to erase all of this. So don't lose that progress. And if I'm not mistaken, during the State of the Union, I don't 100% remember if Trump had already won all the primaries or not. I can't remember. Cause I can't remember the timing of
when it happened.
Okay, no. You know, State of the Union came like right after Trump won the nomination and shit. So I mean the candidacy. So he was the presumptive soon to be president.
Right.
So what else was he supposed to say? You had already voted. So all he could do was be like, these are the accomplishments we made. It's up to y'all to go out here and protect them. Y'all decided that y'all wanted to have Trump in office and not Hillary Clinton. What am I supposed to do now?
Right. And it's one of the things that really, really frustrates me is always we got to blame the nigga. Regardless, even if we fuck up, we got to blame the nigga.
And he's not supposed to be proud of his accomplishments anyway.
Right. And my thing is, I think something else would frustrate me. You've never asked this of any other goddamn president.
Right.
Is anybody asking George W. Bush, his daddy, anybody asking them? Anybody ask them to come back after they left? No, y'all just let them people be. But when it comes to the black man, all of a sudden, you got to be our mule for free. Fuck you, he off the clock.
Keep in mind, we still have a live city, like, former presidents. It's not just Obama. George W. Bush ain't dead.
You asking Bill Clinton?
His daddy ain't dead. Bill Clinton ain't dead. Yet Obama's supposed to be the mule. He's supposed to be the one to go out and do it for free, essentially, because you see the guys, like, every other president has made money in the private sector after they've been president, because normally these are accomplished people that could make money. They could have been making a lot of money normally rather than doing whatever they did for the 4 to 8 years of their president in the first place. So it's become accepted standard that after the office, you go, you give speeches, and the better you are at being president, the more popular you are, the more people want to pay to see you.
You do book tours.
Right.
You're right.
They're out there still giving money back. Obama's actually still working behind the scenes.
Right.
Because I do think if he gave his opinion in a vocal way right now, he would be called divisive. And the same people that claim they don't want that Obama needs to speak will actually use his speaking against him, including this man. He would then say, why is he being divisive? It's Donald Trump's country now. You got to give him a turn. You're dividing America.
Yeah.
Also, I guarantee you, and this is something I had to learn a lesson myself with this podcast and shit. There's certain people that chastise you because they need the fuel from you.
Right.
So essentially, this guy has lost his number one resource, which is critiquing Obama. Nitpicking his ass for 8 years, rather than to go after Trump like every other journalist that, you know, I guess the easy thing, the lowest hanging fruit, rather than to go after Trump, it's let me go back to Obama. I just need him to say something. I need to do something I can write about how fucked up he is.
I hope he don't say shit,
you know. But I really think that's what happens, you know. I've had that experience where I'm like, oh, you just want me to keep talking so you can keep talking shit. It doesn't even matter what I say.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. Your fuel is everything I say is wrong, and you want to go out and spread the word that I'm a terrible person.
Right.
Why would I help you do that?
Right, because those people are irrational and illogical, and the worst thing you can do for people like that is not give them the attention that they're requesting.
Yeah, so I read this article this morning, and I mean, like I said, you guys can find yourself on the Huffington Post called Missing in Action Barack Obama if you want to read it. I don't suggest you read this trash. Mm-hmm. But another thing they would, matter of fact, I'll just read the thread I made, because I address every point in there. One, Obama's a private citizen, and he owes it to him to do whatever the fuck he wants. Him and his family and Michelle and all that, they can do whatever the fuck they want. They can make their book, they can give their speeches. They're private citizens. He don't owe it to us to not make money. we voted for him for 8 years. He did, ran the office. Go do whatever the fuck you want. This has nothing to do with us anymore. Two, Obama, the guy suggested, like, well, you know, Obama might not want to be a lightning rod for racism and dealing with all that racism again, but he should do it for the country. He spent 8 years as the most threatened president of all time. The most death threat, most threatened to be assassinated president of all time.
Y'all, but we ran out of guns and bullets.
Right. We ran out of bullets, not guns. We ran out of bullets when he was elected because people swore that he was going to take everybody's guns.
My bad. We always have enough guns, ran out of bullets. My bad.
Right, right. So, yeah. This is a... the guy who's the most threatened president of all time with a very inept Secret Service, by the way. I worried about that man every day for 8 years. Right. I still worry about him sometimes.
Me too. I was like, y'all don't let him die because y'all incompetent.
Also, you're a white man. Who the fuck are you to tell somebody they need to go be a lightning rod for racism? You don't even know what the fuck it's like. The most animosity you ever get is writing some shit like this and having people be like, hey, man, this is fucked up. That's it. You don't get called them. Nigger every day. You don't get called. You don't get disrespected in the office of president in that type of way. You just don't. So yeah, the idea that you can just decide that a black person needs to go, like, that's the thing though. A lot of people do it. It's not just white people that do it. It's the way people talk about NFL players, the way people talk about Jamel Hill and Michael Smith.
Come on.
We always putting some burden on black people that go pay the price, be a martyr. Don't everybody want to be your motherfucking martyr,
dog? Not only that, and you know your black ass wouldn't do the shit either.
Right. Everybody don't want to be your martyr for nothing. So you can say I kept it real while I'm on the unemployment line.
And then you laugh at me because I've lost my job. You right. Stupid for doing that.
All them people that was retweeting Jamel and they at the same time talking about she should have known not to say that shit. All right, cool. Appreciate you for nothing. Three, he asserts the notion that Obama shouldn't earn too much money.
Who knows what that is?
Why is it the black president that's scared? It's too much money. Cause then he goes on to say, like, well, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton did it, and that was bad. You see, that was bad. It's like, yeah, after they got rich, after she almost won president of the United States, what's really bad about it? I'd rather be rich and not be president of the United States, if I'm really being honest with you, than to be not rich and president of the United States. It ain't that, the job don't seem that dope. Mm-mm. Especially after you put this buffoon in it. Like, I'm not so, it's not such a, so, such a lofty goal anymore. But yeah, it was interesting because what is too much money, right? Who are the wrong audiences? You know, am I never supposed to speak to Wall Street when the motherfuckers really control a lot of things in the economy? Am I supposed to not say anything? Like, they got this money and I come in there and be like, well, listen, this is what's wrong and this is what's good and this is the regulations we need. Oh, don't speak to them at all. Just pretend they don't exist. They have to, we have to have a fake, they're the enemy thing going in America at all times, you know, which is bullshit because we couldn't exist. Our economy wouldn't exist without Wall Street.
Mm-mm.
So, but it's easy as a politician and it's easy as a person sitting at home to talk that shit and then go put my money in my 401k and be like, can you look at these stocks and kind of do that shit for your boy? Like, we agree that there's some sort of exorbitant amount of greed and there's all types of things that can go wrong on Wall Street. We do want them regulated, but then we also want to be like, and don't ever go talk to them, you know? Like, no, nigga, go over there and talk to them and tell the motherfuckers what the deal is, because I don't want to wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, my 401k is gone. Okay, well, we probably should have passed some laws or someone should have went up there and found out what was going on. You know,
fact, I owe you now. My 401k went to negative.
I'm convinced low-key that a lot of that's just white jealousy.
Come on,
that they're rich white people and, you know, other people ain't.
Right, because everybody else be stumping. You ain't tell Bernie Sanders and some of these other motherfuckers, Jill Stein and right. Elizabeth Warren and all these other motherfuckers that be stumping out here.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yes. Elizabeth Warren, I'm sorry. Be stumping out here, speaking to anybody they want to speak to. Right. And I don't see, where are your think pieces?
Bernie's in office. He can't take money for speeches. Oh, so okay. That's different. Elizabeth Warren has made books that where she's made millions of dollars. Yet somehow is anti, like, I remember critiqued the Obamas as being out of touch with normal Americans, because they were on vacation after eight years in the White House. And I'm like, when did your billionaire ass start talking shit to what, like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, four, White people stopped listening to Obama immediately after electing him in 2008. As soon as they realized he couldn't change the country by himself. The reason I say this is because in 2008, not only did Obama win election, all of the, most of the country went blue. All the swing states went blue. So that hasn't happened since. 2010, no. 2012, no. 2014, no. 2016, no. No. Y'all don't listen to him. You attribute all this, because all he can do right now is talk, right? That's what you want him to do, is be vocal, be on Twitter talking shit, and be putting out speeches that talk shit, and like all up in the line. Like, here's the problem. Y'all don't actually listen to the nigga anyway. Mm-hmm. If you listen to him, Hillary Clinton would be the motherfucking president right now.
Come on.
You know, what do you say? If you want to preserve my legacy and the things I've accomplished, you got to support Hillary Clinton. Nah, nope, niggas ain't want to hear that shit. White people definitely ain't want to hear that shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't find him, I feel like he may be a great orator, but this idea that he can make white people see reason is a ridiculous point. That we saw the opposite of that for 8 years. You know, while we may have seen Black Lives Matter spring up, we also saw all the anti-Black Lives Matter shit spring up under Obama too.
Blue Lives Matter sprung up right under Obama.
Every, you know, so that's a big part of it, you know. And there's another point I'm going to make about that later with the whole he needs to come back and speak thing. Matter of fact, I'll say it now. If he was speaking, you know what he would be speaking about, guys? Everybody on the left that wants him to come back and speak, that wants Hillary Clinton to shut the fuck up. You know what he would be speaking about? Immigration. He'd be talking about you know, LGBTQ issues. He'd be talking about racism. He'd talk about the economy as well. He'd talk about classism. He'd talk about voter suppression. You know, identity politics, the shit y'all don't want to hear. All the shit that you say, don't talk to me about that. It's about the economy, and that's why we lost these Trump voters, and we need to get them back. That's what will happen. Obama can't get these people to vote in their own self-interest, and hasn't been able to for a long time now. Like, this is not, you know, like, that was eroding goodwill from the second he took office. It was just white people started feeling some kind of way anytime race came up. They started feeling quote-unquote betrayed because they thought they voted for a biracial man who was going to always take the side of white people are right. Hey, you bad black people, you need to learn, step in line. And he couldn't toe that line good enough for either party, for the record. Because there were times where Obama gave speeches where I was like, nigga, come on. You know, and I knew those speeches were for white people to not feel too uncomfortable. You know, you're talking to a group of college graduates talking about make sure you know, you do the right things and take care of your kids and shit. And I'm like, these niggas don't need to hear that.
They're getting degrees.
All these niggas have done these things and are getting degrees today. This is a day of celebration. They don't need to be scolded. But he's speaking to two audiences, right? So he never was gonna walk that line fine enough for anybody, which is why I don't need him to come back and start speaking right now, because y'all ain't gonna do nothing but reject it anyway. Nobody wants to hear this, you know. I mean, I don't have a problem with it as much as other people, but I know in general the people that are claiming he needs to come back, the second he starts speaking, they're gonna go, oh, I remember this nigga. Yeah, no, it's just say Bernie's the right man, and we need to focus on the economy, and Trump voters are good people. Just, can you just do that? The old you know, don't song and dance. Can you just do that so no one feels bad?
Right.
Number five, how is Trump not alone? How is Trump alone not enough for voters to be activated about preserving the Obama legacy they took for granted? Isn't every day, every headline of every article about Trump starts with Obama era program struck down? Shouldn't that tell you that we are now, on the one hand, it's only been 9 months. Here's the other thing. It's been 9 months of constant attack. We're still waking up to headlines, Obama era program struck down. This motherfucker accomplished so much in them 8 years. A dude who only came to office to strike down everything with his name on it, still got shitty striking down, and it's been 9 constant months, executive orders.
Oh, it's gonna be a while.
But it's
years.
Just, Right. It's just amazing. It's amazing because he's tearing. I don't know that it'll be years, but he's tearing it down
right
so quickly because it's his only goal. And I'm like, I followed Obama. I followed politics for, you know, you heard the show. We followed it pretty closely. And even sometimes I wake up, I'm like, oh damn, that was an Obama era program. I thought we had that for a long time. I didn't know. Well, damn. And it's all, and I'm reading it because it's under attack and it's about to be struck down. But yeah, you need him to come out and talk. That's when you'll realize that this is wrong. You think that's gonna stop Trump? It's time for y'all to get in the streets. You know, that the time of him being a great orator and making the country come together, that was when you had at least a bully pulpit of the presidency. You don't have that anymore. Number six, a lot of the future of the damn party seems focused on courting Trump voters. Tired of identity politics, right? Then why do you want Obama back? Because that's the only thing he's going to talk about. Y'all would just reject him. Number seven is weird folks are still writing pieces that take Obama down in the Trump era. Why are you still talking about him, and who has said and done nothing to court your ire? But now it's like, the nigga too quiet. I got to get his ass for that. If he was talking, you'd be like, shut the fuck up. Right? It's just, he's easier to blame than blaming, in my opinion, in a bigoted American voter base.
Right.
You know, it's easier than to point your fingers at your white fellow countrymen and be like, you did this. So you go, it's this black guy's fault. He wasn't something enough. What exactly? I don't know, but I'm mad at him. Number eight, Obama's smarter than you. So there's that whole, you know, there's that whole big elephant in the room, which is that Obama is working on shit and he is smart enough not to be out here yelling and screaming about it, unlike some folks. He's working behind the scenes. He's working on voter suppression. He's working on finding new leadership for the Dem party. He's working on a future that can unite people. Yeah, sorry he's not giving stump speeches. Bernie Sanders been touring the country for how long? Ever since he lost the primary. And what has he accomplished?
Nothing.
What has changed in our country from Bernie Sanders giving town halls? Like, does anybody have a tangible thing that we go, thank goodness Bernie was here, getting the country back on the right track? Does anyone have a thing? He ain't shut the fuck up yet, but I don't see anybody talking about that. He's just operating out on his own, him and his crew. Like, but we're not sitting around going, thank God Bernie stopped this legislation. You know, he's submitting bills that we know are going to get rejected and pushed down. Like, what are you talking about? And Obama's not even a politician, so what's he supposed to do? You know? Like I said, number nine, I don't believe that if Obama started speaking, they'd even want to hear him. There's no right way for Obama to come at this country. Like, y'all are mad that NFL players are silently kneeling. There's no way you're gonna be okay with a vocal black man coming back and being like, y'all fucked up this country, or being like, you know, because we're at a point where nobody can honestly say that there's two sides to this and we just need to sit down and understand each other. Like, even, and it rang hollow when Obama was giving his State of the Union speech, and it's gonna always ring hollow from now on. Like, this is a time where there's not just two reasonable sides and everybody just needs to sit down to talk about it. That has left the building. Like, so even if he was speaking, somebody was going to not like what he was saying. Because he's going to come back with that hopeful, we can get together, we're America, we still can rally. And people are going to be like, no, I don't like that shit. And if he comes back too militant, y'all going to be like, I don't like that shit. You know? So it's better off him not even speaking. If y'all motherfucking told Hillary Clinton to shut the fuck up and she wrote a book from the inside point of view of the election, one that none of us had, a person that was one of the most storied, experienced, and qualified candidates for the office of presidency in the United States history, wrote a book, and collectively people said, shut the fuck up, bitch. We don't want to hear that shit. Stop blaming people. That's what people said. I'm supposed to believe that same country has the temperament to listen to Barack Obama talk about where the country went wrong? I don't believe you. I just don't believe you, you know? Like, so yeah, and then the last thing was, Obama's not the only former president alive, and how do you write a whole ass article and don't ask every president to say something? You know, he brought up the Jeremiah Wright speech, and you know, the speech Obama gave after that, and was like, he brought America together. And I said, no.
That's selective memory. No, he did not.
Here's what happened after that speech. One, there were a lot of people that got pissed at him for saying that his white mama, grandmama, was racist, essentially. They got mad at him, like, how you gonna sell your family out like that? Two, there were people that got mad at him for disavowing Jeremiah Wright. Like, he didn't disavow him, but he basically distanced himself from Jeremiah Wright's comments, which, in all fairness, he was running for the president of the United States. He would have lost if he would have said, well, Jeremiah Wright is right and I agree with him. Goddamn America. Yeah, they were calling him not an American. They were calling him a secret Muslim and shit like that, which is hilarious, right? He's a secret Muslim that goes to this black Christian church, and anyway, the point being, he walked a tightrope in that speech, and that's why that speech is one of the greatest speeches of all time. It's not because, oh my god, he was so militant and he got people to understand where he was coming from. No, that was, how's this nigga gonna get himself out of this one? That's what we were all thinking when he started talking, because I went, white people mad as fuck about this Jeremiah Wright shit, and it ain't going away. And somehow he was able to come out there and be like, white people, I am not dangerous. Okay. Jeremiah Wright is like my fucking, he might as well be my granddaddy. And I had a racist grandmama and they talk bad about each other, but that doesn't have to be our experience. We can see the good of each other. He got enough people to buy that shit that he got to be in the office. That was a pivotal moment for him. But that also is a moment that can't happen in 2016. Mm-mm. That was 2008 America. Just hoping, wanting some change, and just wanting to be able to push and say, we elected a black man, pat ourselves on the back, aren't we great? That's what that was. So yeah, I don't see that moment repeating itself in this shit, you know? So yeah, I don't understand. If they won't listen to the way I've been feeling, if they won't listen to Hillary Clinton explain what the fuck is wrong with the country, why the fuck would they listen to his black ass? I legitimately don't understand what they think would happen if he started speaking out. So yeah, that's all 100 to me. Also, he ended the article by quoting Woody Allen. The great prophet Woody Allen famously observed that 80% of success is showing up. Mr. President, we need you to show up. Man, go fuck yourself.
No, no goddamn Woody Allen.
Right. You want to quote R. Kelly next?
Come on.
Anyway, that all gave me 100 today.
Mm-hmm.
That bothered the fuck out of me. all right, we gotta get out of here, guys. We told you. We told you what the deal was, okay? The show's getting shorter. Somebody hit me up today and said, I love when the shows are shorter. No offense. And I said, you know what? Okay. So.
Shout out to you, because we got to go.
You're gonna get short shows now. I hope you happy. And everybody, y'all blame her, you know? we gave you a 2-hour show yesterday, and I was ready to wrap it up, but. You guys are gonna have to blame her. Now, I still can't get out of here with at least bringing up Sword Ratchetness. I mean, it is still the black guy with tips. I mean,
yes, come on,
come on, guys. I wouldn't forsake you. You know, I actually literally only do this show to spread anti-sword propaganda, okay? Like, you guys think I'm doing this show because of the jokes and the humor, but no, we have one mission here, to let you guys know that these swords are out here and they real.
They real, real. You'll fuck around and get sliced up.
Sword Ratchetness time, guys.
Mm-hmm.
A shopkeeper, 80, was attacked and robbed by a man with a samurai sword. Yeah, they're going after the octogenarians now, y'all. He was attacked and robbed by a young man wielding a samurai sword. The incident happened at 8:10 on Friday evening at Newsboys News Agent in Square Penniswick, I don't know what that is, an 80-year-old shopkeeper was working with a man thought to be in his early 20s brandishing a samurai type sword, entered the premises, demanded money. A struggle ensued between the suspect and the shopkeeper, during which time a three-figure sum of cash was stolen and the victim sustained a minor injury to his hand. The inquiries are ongoing and anyone who can trace this male responsible is asked to come forward. He is described as white, around 20 years old and 5'7" tall. Detective Inspector Paul Batten said, "This is an extremely unusual offense given the style of weapon used, and thankfully the shopkeeper was not seriously injured. We're treating this robbery with the utmost seriousness, and I would ask anyone who remembers seeing any suspicious activity around the store on Friday evening to contact the police immediately. Similarly, anyone who can help us identify the trace the male responsible is urged to get in touch. Those with information, call Dial Keith, CID, something.
Yeah!
All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Go to Adam Eve. Tomorrow we will be doing wine and white people news. So show up with your wine and your crackers and cheese.
Because we will have it.
All right, until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.